Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah! Woo! Oh my god!
Wow! What do we have here?
Oh my gosh, I am so excited to be here.
Hey, Matt.
Hi. Hi, Matt. Hi, Jared. Hi, Rocco. You guys, this is crazy.
No, they're not here.
They're not here. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on the show. You're on Drinking Bros. You're the first ever girl to be what I would consider a co-host, more than a co-host.
Oh.
A lady of the night, if you will. A drinking broette of the eve. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not have Rocco, a.k.a. Vincent Vargas. We don't have Matt Best here. We don't have Jared Taylor. But what we do have here is Jessie Wiseman, the lead actress of Orange 15, a.k.a. Range 15, which by the time this airs, you might be getting out of the movie theaters. She was the beautiful blonde girl with pink streaks in her hair who hates Jared.
Because she's so fat.
What did you call him throughout the movie?
Just fat boy, fat fuck.
I think fatty, fat.
And then Jared, but
yeah,
like in like a disgusting tone.
Yeah,
you know,
like you were
Jared.
Sick of him. Quit eating sandwiches, Jared. Quit eating fucking Jimmy John's, Jared.
Yeah,
yeah.
Quit looking at that chocolate that way,
and
Jared.
You know, here's what I love about it. He's not here to defend himself tonight.
Oh my gosh, this is like the one-sided conversation I always wanted to have with fat-ass Jared.
Yeah, yeah, and he's not here.
He won't. So he's not here to be like, guys!
He can't scream out Free Willy.
Yeah.
He can't scream out Free Willy or, no, I'm Yellow Dart.
Yeah.
No, he's not here.
He can't. He's not those things.
No, he's not. He's not any of those things. He's Triple J. He's Jimmy John's Jared.
Yeah.
And he's not here. The three of them are missed. But look, kids, we got a big movie that just came out. Opening day, Range 15. Everybody scattered around the nation. Jared is at his hometown in Cerebral Palsbo.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Cerebral Palsbo, Washington.
That's not a place.
It is. It's where Jared's from. It's a small town, tiny village, if you will.
God.
300 people is what he said.
Of course.
I'm making that number up. I'm guessing at numbers right now.
It's probably less.
Yeah.
It's way less.
Yeah. Rocco and Matt, I believe, are in different parts of Texas and New Mexico doing the screenings. We are here in Wilmington, North Carolina.
It's hot as fuck. Hot as fuck.
Yeah.
It's hot as fuck.
It was 94 degrees with a lot of humidity when we walked in tonight. But man, Let's start it off. I'm nervous about tonight. We got a girl co-host tonight.
I know. I'm nervous, dude. Like I've heard the shows. Like
yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, do I need to get on that, like, breaking the pelvis because you're fucking in the ass so hard level, or should I just kind of like
Here's the thing. Usually that's within the first 30 seconds of the show.
Whoa, you're welcome.
You just breach the pelvis, if you will, already to start with.
Okay.
So no. Because what I was about to say about you, which was going to be a nice thing, was, hey, guess what? We've got a lady on the show tonight. We're going to class it up. And then you talked about getting fucked in the ass. And
No. Not me.
No, it's
not
under
me,
3 minutes.
Me.
We're
not
under
me.
3 minutes right now.
Okay. No, you're right.
So what I usually do right now is I tone it down a little bit.
Okay.
And I tone it down. And what I do is I talk about the sponsors, which people love. People love the sponsors. And you know what Mr. Matt Best does during those sponsors?
What does he do?
He makes sound effects that accompany these sponsors. So since they're not here, it's going to fall on you, Mrs. Jesse Wiseman.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I have been compared to that guy from Police Academy. I've been called the female, whatever that guy's name
Michael
is.
Michael Winslow?
Yes.
That's not true, by the way.
The master.
Great. Well, then let's give it a go.
Sound effects.
Let's give it a go.
And go.
Yeah, we'll give it a go. Our first sponsor is Strike Force Energy. Calling in the Strike Force. God, that's awful.
Boom.
I mean, it's absolutely—it's terrible. It's borderline terrible.
There was a panther,
but you know what
isn't?
No, I know what's inside the goddamn can.
Okay.
It's the panther, and it's Strike Force. It's the best energy drink you've ever had in your entire life. And guess what? It comes in a pouch. It's not a can. You know, we talk about kicking the can all the time. You can kick that can. You can ditch that can.
That.
You can roll down the window and throw that fucking can out because you don't need it. All you need is this little tin full of magic juice to pour in water, sodas, alcoholic beverages. You can pour it in coffee. I wouldn't recommend it. You can also snort it. But if you go to StrikeForceEnergy.com and type in the promo code Drinkin' Bros, you get 20% off of every single fucking order. We drink it. You had it. You had some yesterday.
I love it. I just want to say I put a little bit in my wine this evening.
Did you really?
It sweetens it up. You guys, it takes you to another level.
Look at
I'm
that.
Not joking. I really like it.
Look at that. That's a tip.
Amazing.
That's a tip for the ladies. That's
tip
a tip for the
ladies.
Ladies.
If you want to come up and down.
Yeah. So go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Type in the promo code Drinkin' Bros for 20% off of every single fucking thing they have. And you know what we got next, Jabes?
What do you got?
We got a little home defense ammunition. We got a little company called Tartarus Ordnance. They're big fans of the show, a.k.a. I wish a motherfucker would. Go to TartarusOrdnance.com for all your home ammunition needs.
No.
There's the sound effects I was looking for. Yeah.
Was that good?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure TartarusOrdnance.com will love it. They sell home defense ammunition. They also sell fucking guns. They're arms dealers.
That's sweet.
Yeah. I mean, look, they don't have the biceps that I do, but they still deal arms there. And if you type in the promo code Drinkin' Bros, you get 10% off. Now, the last one, I like that sound effect.
Thank you.
But on this next one, we'll see how you read it. Okay. We'll see how you read it, okay?
Okay.
It's a little novel by what most in American and British and Bulgarian society are calling the greatest literary mind of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book that's brought a lot of people together.
Okay.
It's a book that's also torn a lot of people apart. It's a little book called At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes.
Oh, no! Mr. St. James, no!
Yeah, how about a horse noise? You got a horse noise for it? Oh, God.
Okay, again, master of the sound effect.
You're terrible at it. You're absolutely terrible at it. So go to Amazon, go to audible.com, get At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. It is the funniest book ever written. Every man should have a copy. We also did a live book reading from Drinkin' Bros Nerds the other night. Again, thank you for having me. That was a fucking blast. I hung out with those guys for...
How was that?
2 hours. It was amazing. We did it live stream. It is on the At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed Facebook page. And you can go on and see it. It seemed like there was 100 people in there.
Dude, that's sweet.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
The outpouring of the Drinkin' Bros is just, it's a phenomenal force. And you're new to it, so you're getting to see it firsthand.
I am new to it, but I want to say, I wanted to say that this community has kind of inspired me and like brought my faith back into Facebook. I think this is kind of like what the forefathers wanted out of Facebook,
I actually think that's a great assessment, because right now, fuck, if I read another goddamn political post from somebody
Or just see somebody's fucking selfie about how amazing their life is. And like, here's the thing, like, you know, in LA or here, I see my friends that aren't in the drinking bros or whatever posting like, hey, guys, I'm in Colorado. I need like a washer and dryer. My dryer broke. Can anyone help me? And then it's like a bunch of joke comments like, my dick can dry it. Come over, blah, blah, blah. And they don't really even help them. If you post in Drinking Bros that your like dryer is broken,
Somebody will be there to fix your washer and dryer.
They will deliver you a new one with whiskey and be there to like help you install it. And it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And they work that fast. It is really inspiring. I'm like, it's renewed my faith in the world, really.
And you know what you can put in that washer and dryer? Our last sponsor.
Whoa.
Drinking Bros podcast t-shirts.
Segway. Yeah. Sally. Yeah. Segway. Sally.
You didn't even know you were jumping into a Segway, did you?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I actually didn't.
You were like Paul Blart and Mall Cop on that one. You were on the Segway. You were riding around, and you found it. You found exactly where you were going on that Segway.
I wasn't sure how to take that.
Yeah.
For a second.
Oh, whether like a weight thing? No.
Yeah.
I just meant you were on a Segway.
Oh, okay.
You were on a Segway. You knew exactly where you were going. Yeah. Who doesn't?
I do love a Segway
tour. Who doesn't love a Segway tour of an old spooky ghost town? Get you right in the mood, you know?
Yeah. That's someone falling off a Segway, if anyone didn't know that sound.
Another amazing sound effect. We're going to get to her Hollywood life story in a minute, but it wasn't the girl of a thousand voices, I can tell you that. Our last sponsor is Black Rifle Coffee.
Oh, I love it.
You got something for a coffee going into a thing?
Oh,
glug, 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 glug.
Yeah. Glug, 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 glug. Oh, I just shit my pants.
God damn it. Just stop. Just thank God. That is our last sponsor, ladies and gentlemen.
But you're welcome.
We love Black Rifle Coffee on the show. If you go to blackriflecoffee.com, type in the promo code Drinking Bros, I think you get 20% off. Maybe it's 10, but guess what? If you're listening now, tell them it's 20. Tell Evan Hafer it's fucking 20. None of those guys were on the show tonight, so I'm fucking controlling
shit. Say whatever
you
want, dude.
Yeah. I'm running the free world
tonight.
Dude,
we're fucking taking over.
Yeah.
Well, you are.
Guns up in here.
I already got fired, but you're taking over.
Well, I mean, you got fired from the sound effect portion.
Okay.
We'll see how the rest of the show
really
shakes out. But I want to thank you for being here. It's the first time we've ever had a full woman on the show. You've done it partially in the past.
Yeah.
You did it with Mary Daig and Mindy Robinson. We chatted with you briefly. But
that was the first time. You had a Playboy on here or something, right?
We had a Playmate on here, but she wasn't a co-host. She was a guest.
Gotcha.
There's a different thing of a guest and a co-host.
Okay. No, I hear
right
you.
Now, there is no other host. Matt, Rocco, and Jared are off sucking dicks.
Dude, they're like sitting at home. They're listening to this like
at home.
Oh, God.
Just disgraced.
Yeah, disgusted.
Disgusted.
Like, did you hear her fucking sound effects?
Did you hear her sound effects?
Yeah, woman.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what you
fucking
get.
Fucking women.
That's what you get for bringing a girl on the show.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm
I
in that
too.
Camp, but. Love you, ladies.
Yeah, well, not only that, but like you're wearing shoes. You should be barefoot in the kitchen somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Totally kidding.
Totally kidding.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
We love ladies here.
I know. Yeah. No, we actually have a lot of female listeners who listen to the show.
So
yeah, we do.
Okay.
We got a lot of drinking broettes.
What's up, girls? What's up?
Oh, yeah. So tonight's going to be a great show. So let's dive right in. Let's fucking Greg Louganis into this bitch.
Well,
what was it like?
I've listened before, so what are you drinking?
Oh, look at you.
Yeah,
you know, it's
listened,
funny. We got away from that for a spell.
Did you?
I'll tell you why.
Sorry.
No. I'll tell you. It's not a bad thing.
Okay.
I'm always drinking something cool.
For sure.
Those guys have just pretty much relegated to Lead Slingers these days, which is one of the finest beverages in the land.
I mean, obviously.
But you can wet your palate with, you know, a few beers beforehand.
Okay.
In honor of you, since you were Helen Keller in a movie called Helen Keller versus Night Wolves, I'm drinking Not Your Father's Root Beer tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
I am.
That's awesome.
You're welcome. What do you got? You have it's a box of wine. I can see it over the top of my computer.
I just want to let you know that I have everything that I want right now. Like, I'm on the Drinking Bros podcast, which is huge for me.
Right.
I have a box of Cabernet Sauvignon. postulate.
Oh.
Yes, wine. It's a box, but it's really...
It's in a box.
It's in a box. I have Swedish
What year is your box? What year is your box of wine?
It's 2014.
Oh, so it's a great year for box wines.
Aged.
Great year for box wines.
Great year. Their boxing technique then was unparalleled.
In France, so, yeah, I remember my grandfather telling me stories about when they boxed wine from the vineyards
yes.
in the 1800s.
Yes.
So they really were the pioneers of it. So looking at the box, because the back of it looks like Hubert. It's not surprising.
It's fucking great though, dude. Do you want to try it?
Look, if you're on the go, you're a lady on the go.
I am a lady on the go.
You need a box of wine to take with you.
Yeah, I'm a mover. I'm a shaker.
Yeah, the postulate, the second. I don't know who the first was of that wine, but that second generation is, it's kind of like the second generation of the Bible, I would say.
Yeah, it's got a little houndstooth pattern on the front. I love it.
It's a nice thing.
Swedish fish to accompany it, which is my favorite combination. If anyone wanted to send me a gift basket,
it would just be
red wine and Swedish fish, and I would love you forever.
Let me get this straight. You come on the show. You're
sure.
Our first ever co-host.
Uh-huh.
You're a woman, which
sure.
is already strike
annoying,
two.
Annoying.
And
yeah.
you're asking for gift baskets of Swedish fish.
No, dude, I'm not
boxed,
asking.
And boxed wine from the people. I mean, that's a lot to
I
ask
think I was
for.
Talking to you.
That's a lot to ask for right now.
I was talking to you, but yeah. No,
so if you see Jesse Wiseman out in public, what she's saying is this: stop her, shower her with Swedish fish,
or don't talk to me, or don't even talk to me unless you have
shower her with Swedish
mm-hmm.
fish, or just throw a box of wine at her.
Mm-hmm.
You could be the car can be moving, it can be stationary, but this is what she demands out of life. Just walking in here with demands.
Sorry. Yeah.
Crazy.
Just like a woman.
God, unbelievable.
All right, let's jump into it. Sorry, I was like really wanting to do everything that you guys do, you know? So I'm like, okay, the drink, like what are you drinking?
No, you killed it. You killed it.
Okay.
For those who are listening, hopefully you were just getting out of Range 15. Our podcast usually comes out at midnight. The night before, usually on Monday nights and Wednesday nights. So you could be getting out of Range 15, getting in your car, saying to yourself, holy shit, this is the funniest movie I ever saw. The girl in this steals the movie. And that girl is Jesse Wiseman. What was it like being essentially the lead actress of Range 15?
One of the lead actresses, yeah. Well, first of all, I loved this role. I mean, she's a badass chick. But she doesn't have her tits out. She doesn't have her ass out. She's not somebody's fucking girlfriend. She's not like, you know, side bitch. She's like seriously taking care of business and leading these guys in part of the, you know, movie. So I just loved her. And all she's doing is like making fun of Jared because Jared thinks that he has a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But Jared Barry,
so that's all she's doing. Like she's not hooking up with anybody. Like she is for real, ladies. Like a badass.
Yeah.
That you want to see in movies. Like, I'm not fucking super skinny. I'm not like, I can actually kick some ass if
Stop.
I needed
you are,
to.
Stop. You are a pretty lady and you know that.
I've got some walking around weight and I love it. I'm into it. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying like, I feel like I'm representing a little bit. So
okay.
I loved it.
And,
it was amazing.
And since you're new to the show, obviously a big portion of the audience is military.
Yes.
Tell the audience what you did to prepare for the role and as far as shooting weapons. Because you had called me a few times and said, hey, I'd like to get together with the stunt coordinator, learn how to shoot, learn the proper stance, how to properly hold a gun. I think your quote to me was, I don't want to look like one of those dumb bitches you see in movies who can barely hold a weapon, especially in a movie that's going to be huge in the military community. If you could walk the audience through what it was like getting ready and preparing for this role and how much time you spent out at the range, that'd be great for the people at home.
Yeah, I was definitely, I think I said to you and everybody, like, I just didn't want to let anybody down. I know there was a bunch of veterans in this movie. And, you know, as far as being one of the girls in the movie, that, you know, I didn't want people to be like, well, there's real veterans that could have done that, you know? So I didn't want to let them down. I called the stunt coordinator. I bugged him. I was like, I really need to go out on the range. I need you to, like, teach me all kinds of stuff. Like I wanted to get into like tactical situations. I wanted to like crawl in the dirt. I wanted to really hear and do, get into it. You know what I mean? Very Daniel Day-Lewis, if you will. And they were like, shut up, get out of here.
Yeah, no. There was a rumor that you lived with a musket for 4 years preparing
for
this role.
I did.
Just like Daniel
Day-Lewis. In the dirt. Yeah.
Yep.
And my family could not talk to me.
Nope.
Except for if it was over radio.
Or if
you're in the house.
Or if somebody came out as Abraham Lincoln and talked to you.
Yes, I did.
Just
like
Daniel
Day-Lewis. Pancakes.
Yeah.
And they always had to have pancakes.
Pancakes.
Yeah. And they needed to be bone dry.
Bone dry.
Bone dry pancakes for me only.
Yeah, she not.
Do not talk to me.
She not only does sound effects, she does great impressions.
Amazing.
That was an amazing
voices.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
You're welcome.
That was a world renowned Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
But getting back to Range 15, like on the serious side, I remember you walking up to Matt Best on set.
Yes.
Asking him for pointers a lot. Mm-hmm. I saw you guys working a lot between scenes, which was amazing.
Because I just wanted to know what I was doing. These people go through years of training so that it's just second nature. Do you know what I mean? So I'm in the movie with people that can pull a gun, holster it, you know, shoot, holster it without even thinking or you know, skipping a step. So I wanted to at least be a little bit on that level, just at least look like it. I didn't want to be the one that was like, oh, she's not military.
Right.
You know, and it was really important to me because I felt, you know, I was one of the only people in the movie that wasn't.
Yeah, and a lot of people from the pre-screenings that we've had so far before it came out in theaters have said the same thing of like, holy shit, that girl looks like she knows what she's doing. Like,
dude, that's
was she
huge...
ex-military? Like, she knows, she looks like she can shoot.
That's a huge compliment.
Now, the other girl, they didn't say that about. I'm totally kidding. But
they
not.
Didn't?
But kind of not. I'm kidding.
She had done a bunch of military movies before.
Yeah.
No, I was, honestly, I was just like, I was nervous the whole time. I was asking everybody that was next to me, Nick, Matt, everyone, just like, hey, like, can you just show me? Because you get kind of left to the side if you don't speak up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they're just like, oh, okay, you'll be fine. Blah, blah, blah.
And that brings up a great point. Were you worried about being steamrolled by the other guys in the movie because of that? Because it's easy to just shove a girl aside and say, all right, great. I'm not going to help her with weapons. I'm not going to help her with shit. I'm too busy worrying about what
my
I'm supposed to look
shit.
Like.
Yeah. I definitely did. And so I made it a point to be like, hey, which you have to do. I think you should always do because people are worried about themselves. We're in the movie business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you need something, you have to
speak
get
up.
Out there.
Yeah.
Speak up.
And you've done, I would say, what, 4 or 5 leads in films at this point?
Yeah.
What was it like starring with guys who had never professionally acted before?
Oh, I was, honestly, I was worried. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I was really worried going up to it. I was just like, it's been, you're an actor too. Like, it's been a while since we worked with people that just have never acted before. Probably when we were just starting out. Do you know what I mean? So it's, you don't usually at this kind of stage in the game. I don't know. I lied though.
You lied what? I did because like IMDb wasn't as prevalent back then.
Yeah.
So you could lie, like resumes were on paper.
Okay. Yeah.
So I lied to people. I was like, oh yeah, I've done a bunch of stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And IMDb wasn't around and it wasn't as big as it was. So nobody fucking knew where it was with these guys. They totally, like, you were like, oh, this is definitely your first movie.
Definitely. Well, just because they were like, never done anything. So even when people are lying on their resume back in the day, right? It's like, they've done something. You went to school, like,
I did.
You had acted.
I did,
maybe,
but I had friends who were like, they didn't do anything. No, and they were like, I was on One Life to Live for 10 years. And you were like, oh.
Who would know?
Everybody's working in the
guy.
Day. You don't watch that
so
shit.
So true.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But those guys were fantastic.
So basically what I was going to say is like I was worried going in and I'm just like, well, I know how it works. So it's like, you know, we could edit around or like I have no idea. But I really wanted to do that. I liked them as people. I thought they were awesome just hanging out with them. So sometimes that translates, you know, so I'm just like hoping. And the first table
I think it did.
For sure.
I think you guys all did an amazing job in the movie. And I think your friendship outside of the film really showed in the film, yes.
And I think that's true. Like, I do a lot of indie movies like that where you know, you're making them with your friends. And I think that a lot of the success of the couple of movies that I've had like that is from that, where people can feel your real connection. Anything right. real, people kind of, you know, glob onto or connect with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was a huge thing. And that did translate, I feel, all of you guys, all of us. And the first table read before the movie, I was like, holy shit. Like,
those guys knew their lines backwards and forwards and even your lines, too.
Yeah, but it wasn't even knowing the lines. I mean, they fucking killed it. Like, Jack's my favorite, I just want to say. Like, I love everybody, but, like, Jack in that table read, going from a character that I was like, what the fuck is this guy?
Right?
Or just
well,
like,
on
what?
Paper, you don't
on
know
paper,
what that character is.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, okay. And he killed it. He was amazing.
Jack's a fan favorite a lot. Yeah.
He's one of my favorites.
He's great.
Matt really surprised me.
How so?
Just his willingness to go there every single time. Like, he figures out how to the way he's going to say the line, and he does it every time. You know what I mean? And that it helps, and it was good. Like, he's thought about it. He thought about it so much before. And you can tell when people put work in the script
right.
before they get there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's not like, oh, I'm going to try it this way, and then maybe it'll work this way, and then let's just see how this goes. Like, he put the work in, I can tell, a lot. And so that surprised me. And he was good.
He's great.
He's really good. Like, I was like, you're a fucking actor.
Everybody was pretty great in the film.
Yeah.
I didn't have that difficult of a time in editing. Ironically, the most difficult time I had in editing was with a professional actor who's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way more movies than all you guys combined.
I believe that. Let me rephrase. Like, I don't often work with people that aren't actors, but I work with bad actors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Selfish actors. Like, that's normal for me to have to deal with. So this new thing of working with people that have never acted before, it was like, well, we could see. We'll see.
Yeah. But again, I think it turned out pretty fucking great.
Amazing.
And I hope hopefully the audience at home is out seeing the movie as we speak. But
my gosh, this is crazy!
I know they could be getting in their car.
What'd
and then
you
literally
think, guys?
To this. Yeah,
how'd we do?
So how did you get your start? And I kind of want to walk back some of the films that you've already been in.
Okay.
But how old were you when you started? What was your background like?
Okay, so I was like super drama emo actor kid
in high school.
Around 15 or 16, I was like totally emotionally retarded, and I just didn't know what the hell was going on. And I found an acting class that it didn't like save my life, but it changed the direction of my life, better or worse. I mean,
yeah.
But it
Caitlyn Jennered you.
Changed your life. Changed my life.
Changed your life.
It changed me. But it was a lot of like writing and like performing the super emo stuff that you wrote. And like, I get a little embarrassed even like thinking about the stuff that I wrote. But that's where I was. I'm a dramatic actor, really, like in the heart of it. And so I found an acting class. We started this Black Box Theater in Ojai, California with my acting coach, Kim Maxwell, and her husband, Dwyer Brown.
Oh, Dwyer Brown from Field of Dreams?
Do you know Dwyer Brown?
From Field of Dreams.
The dad.
You're
at the end of, isn't that hilarious?
Wow.
Yes. That was his claim to fame.
Kevin Costner's dad was your, so Kevin Costner's dad at the end of Field of Dreams was your acting coach.
Remember that?
Yeah. Dude, everyone remembers that part. Because you know why? Yeah.
Do you want to play some catch?
Yeah. Do you want to have a catch?
Do you want to? Have a catch.
Have a catch. And like, because I'll be honest, broke down then when it
oh
came
my,
out.
Oh my God.
Broke
yeah,
down.
Yeah.
Broke
yeah.
down a couple weeks ago when I saw that scene.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone
every time
still
I see it.
Remembers
mm-hmm.
that scene.
Every
so
time.
All you don't even have to know the name Dwyer Brown to know. If you just say he was the dad mm-hmm. at the end of Field of Dreams, it evokes an emotion in a man that I get chicken skin right now even talking about it.
Oh my gosh, I mean, you even seem a little like
you choked
have a, up.
I'm,
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
shook
yeah.
up mm-hmm. because you mm-hmm. want to have a catch, and the fact that he brought him back after the whole shit.
Oh my God, anything with dads, you guys, anything with dads.
But that in particular
was oh yeah,
was
but
like,
that was a great one.
He was broke, he was on the farm, the little girl choked on a hot dog.
They decided
James
to
Earl
like,
Jones, yeah, you, the whole shit.
It's a great fucking movie,
great,
by the way.
Great, great film.
Yeah.
I would say baseball movie wise, that is the 1-2 is natural. Field of Dreams. The fact that Kevin Costner's dad in Field of Dreams
was
your acting coach,
I think
a big
I've,
deal, and
yeah.
I think you're poo-pooing it a little bit, but that's a big deal.
No, I think that I've you know if that gives you any sense of like how much you know, like acting, coaching. I got.
Yeah.
He was kind of a douchebag, but his wife was amazing.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he
that's
fielded,
disappointing.
He had fun in all the fields
of dreams.
I
yeah,
don't
he
know,
did.
I don't know how to do that, but with all the girls in class.
He was fucking,
anyways,
he was fucking all
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah, anyways,
yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
I was trying to make a point.
A lot. Look, a lot of people call that Field of Dreams.
Yeah. Field of Dreamsing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I Field of Dreams.
Yeah. You know the easy porn name for that.
Yeah.
It was the Field of Wet Dreams, obviously.
Oh.
That was the big one back in the day.
You're the
where
master.
It was,
yeah. You are the master.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. You know where that's going. If you build it, they will come. Like,
oh,
they
man,
use all
I
of the cliches.
You left it on the table.
Yeah.
Jesse.
They really use all the cliches in that movie.
Oh, man.
You're in there with Dwyer Brown.
Yeah.
You were.
So I was just doing a bunch of emo stuff, dramatic things, whatever. We're putting on these plays, and I'm in Ojai, California. So basically, I get pushed to LA, and it's the same old story of pretty much everyone. I'm blonde. I'm, you know, but I wasn't like the super hot blonde. I was young, but I wasn't like super smiley, so I wasn't Disney. I was just kind of like, I didn't know what to do with myself. Like, no one knew
right.
what to do with me, kind of thing. So I started making these shorts, found like this group of friends in LA, filmmakers and actors and just kind of weird misfits. And we started making shorts and just weird shit, just filming, like just getting the camera and like going out and filming shit. Because, you know,
which
we're
is
not,
what you should do.
Yeah, because you're not getting hired, whatever, and you're not the fucking whatever it is, but you have
something
to say.
And here's the thing, there is no excuse if you are an actor or want to be. I should stress that.
Yeah.
If you want to be an actor, a director, a writer, a producer, there is no reason you shouldn't be out shooting, recording, editing, and writing something every single day.
Yep.
Because you have the capabilities.
Is that what you say to people? Like, if people ask you,
every
like,
single
what
time.
Should I? Yeah,
every
me too.
Every single
it's like,
time. Because it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's affordable. And you all know friends of friends of friends who do things.
It's so much cheaper now, too. Like, with movies being shot on iPhone. I mean, I know people are saying it. But it's like, you can do it.
Even with a decent budget. Like, we had, you know, a decent budget for Range 15. And Jared still did the opening animation credits, which, again, if people are leaving that movie, that would have cost probably $50,000 in Hollywood.
Yeah.
He knew how to do it on his own.
Yeah.
Jared was always shooting. He was always doing stuff. Same with Matt. Same with me. Like,
yep.
Your story is very
advice.
Similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no excuse for it.
Yeah.
So always be making something something creative if that is going to be your life.
And I guess I'm like kind of a success story from that because we, you know, we made all these shorts and we finally decided to tackle a movie. And it was like a feature length, which if anyone knows, like with no money or whatever, like, and, you know, crew and, you know, so it cost us all money. We just went all in.
Tell them what movie you,
so
this was.
It was called Bellflower.
Yeah. Which is how I found you.
Yeah. I love that movie. It's near and dear to my, it was the first like actual feature film that got finished and made. I've been in a lot of movies, but as you know, they don't come out or they don't like nobody finishes them.
Here's what I find funny though about Bellflower in particular is it's a guy's movie.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you a lot of the audience has seen it more than you probably think.
Oh, okay.
It was in Sundance. It did
yeah,
really
it,
well
it
in
got,
Sundance.
Yeah,
it was in
it
theaters.
Was my launch pad
Netflix,
for sure. Yeah, it was amazing.
All of it, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that was another guy's movie. Now you're starring in yet another guy's movie.
Yep.
So it's pretty funny that those have bookended your last four roles.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and then after that, I got 50K.
50K in a Call Girl Love Story.
You had told me you saw Bellflower.
I did. I'd seen, for the audience, I saw Bellflower in movies. A bunch of people had sent me the trailer, and they were like, hey, you got to go see this movie. It looks really fucking cool. I thought of you when I saw this. I was just finishing up the script for 50K and a Call Girl, but I didn't know who the lead girl was going to be. I went and saw your movie on a Friday night. There was eight people in there.
yeah, that was pretty much how our screening
was. Four of them walked out during it.
Oh, yeah. We were a little controversial for sure.
Yeah, but your performance, and I think a lot of people will feel this way about Range 15, was so powerful that I was like, oh, fuck, who is that girl? So I called the casting director Monday morning and I was like, you know what? This next movie coming up, only audition this one girl. This is the girl that's
only audition one girl.
So that was it. And we just auditioned you. We didn't have a lot of money, obviously, because we were an indie. We thought you were pretty famous. We didn't know if you'd do the movie or take the money or whatever.
Again,
little did we know.
My mom,
Dwyer Brown, was your acting coach. No, but you were fantastic in that movie. A bunch of the Drinking Bros have seen that movie and loved
that movie. Like that's my my shit. So it's weird to me. Like,
and by the way, they're making it into a Bollywood movie as we speak.
Oh shit, that's right.
You were being played by a Miss India 2013,
which is fucking hilarious to me.
So look at that.
I'm
look at that.
All the way up.
All the way up.
Yeah.
You're going to all the way up with dance numbers, which you're going to be, because there's eight of them in there. You know that, right?
Again, that's not a lot. Kind of feel like they skimped.
Eight?
For a Bollywood movie?
One is a lot of goddamn dance numbers.
You've clearly not seen anything in Bollywood.
I've perused.
It's all I've seen dance like four numbers. Trailers. So I like that they've taken down the dance number to eight.
Here's what I want to see. My character has cancer in the film.
Yeah, what are they going to like?
How is he going to dance? Yeah, they're going to roll him around in a fucking wheelchair.
Oh, they're going to like put him up like over their heads, maybe.
That would be awesome.
Like kind of crowd surfing sort
of thing.
By
the way, this is a really funny story. My first movie in LA was a movie called The Miracle in Lane 1. Maybe Lane 2. I'd have to look IMDb on this one.
Sounds like familiar. Okay.
Frankie Muniz, who was the little kid on Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes. Love his work.
A huge
Nunez
him and
fan.
The fucking Dinklage are my
is it
two.
Nunez?
I don't. He's not Spanish. I don't know why that's his last name.
Muniz.
Muniz.
We're a big Muniz.
Yeah.
Supporter here.
Yeah. So my big thing where that was my first lines supposed to be on film were in that, and I was supposed to. I held him above my head in a wheelchair. Because he was a handicapped kid in school. He hits the game-winning home run in a baseball game, and then I lift him above my head, and
Of course you do.
Way to go. You did it. You won the fucking game, you know? Like, I'm all amped. I've got him held above my head in a fucking wheelchair. There's a celebration going on. I'm getting my SAG card. I think it's fucking Harlem World. The movie's going to air at Christmas on the Disney Channel. Go home for Christmas from LA. My first.
Hey guys, I'm in a movie.
Yeah, I'm in a movie.
Yeah,
I'm in this Christmas special on the Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. Everyone gather around the old tube.
Sure.
We're gonna
check
see Ross Patterson be a star again. This is it. He's gonna be fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. You can just see my arm holding him above in the wheelchair, and they cut all of my lines. You're welcome.
Welcome to Hollywood. Well, if everyone, you know, we all have those, right? Like, you were just kind of like, well, this is what it is, right? Like,
My first one out the gate, though, I
were
think
you
that
like
set
really
it up
disappointed?
For like, yeah. I was like, this is.
You were
this
still
is
like starry
bullshit.
Eyed, right? You were that still like, yeah, oh.
Exactly.
I'm in it.
I'm in it. The whole the magic
come
was still there.
Me.
Yeah. I thought I'd get to go to, like, I did a free
pass. It would be
to
your
Disney
launch.
World.
Yeah.
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 Like, hey, I'm in a Disney movie. You They're going to know me there. Mm-hmm. They're going to invite me to the park. I'll probably get to skip the line on all the rides.
Yep. Yep.
Didn't get to do
They're gonna
any
say,
of that.
Who's that guy holding the wheelchair? Yeah. Get him in my office right now. He's a star.
Bring them all in. There's
He's
there's
a star.
Yeah. We're gonna let him do the fucking the goddamn modeling contest,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And
all
then
of it.
All of it. Nothing. I get none of that.
Oh man.
I get none of that. I didn't get to be a judge for the Miss USA pageant. I didn't get to do any of that shit. So my parents, it was a lot of disappointments.
Yeah.
You know, mostly out of my end. Luckily, you know, things changed the next year. But Frankie Muniz, if you're out there listening to the podcast, I want to say that was me holding you above my head in a wheelchair.
That was your first acting collab.
Yeah, you could have ate less at lunch that day.
Yeah, you're a bit heavy, man.
I felt like he was going back for seconds of like, oh, hey, Ross is strong.
Yeah,
like,
is Munoz heavier than he seems?
He's probably 115 soaking wet.
Oh, okay.
Soaking wet.
Okay.
But still, that was in a wheel. Like, you gotta, the wheelchair is probably 35, 40 pounds. So, like, I'm essentially, I don't want to say shoulder pressing because it makes me sound like a professional bodybuilder, but I was shoulder pressing him.
Sure, obviously.
Shoulder pressing him above my head for hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some might say that's a daily workout for you, Ross. You know, you're as strong as a mountain punching another mountain.
I've heard that.
Which I get. But it was still, you know, a disappointment nonetheless.
You know what, guys? So drinking bros who have listened to this podcast, like, isn't it kind of funny to hear about Ross being like the starry-eyed guy that like thought he was going to be in the Munoz movie? Like, doesn't it seem so weird to me?
Why?
Because, like, do you have that anymore?
No, I don't. But
like,
I did.
You're behind the veil. You're behind the
curtain. I was behind the veil after, I want to say accepted was where I went behind the veil when I was like, oh, all right. The producing side of this is where the real power is. Directing side of this is where the real power is. I saw they were bigger producers on that, and there was a lot of money on the line for Universal's a $33 million budget.
Mm.
And the way they treated actors was less than. And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, that's not the most, like, important job on the set kind of thing.
Yeah. And I thought it was.
We all do.
Because before then, you know, I had leads in maybe, I want to say, 4 or 5 movies at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, what I do every day is really fucking important.
That's how they make you feel.
Yeah, it is.
But behind the scenes, they're just
behind
fucking
the scenes,
you
yeah, they're
in
like,
the ass.
Fuck
yeah.
That bendy straw drinking motherfucker.
How can we only pay him this much?
Yeah.
Cool. He's only worth this. Can we get the other guy? No, he's not available. Fine, get him in. Like,
yeah.
Just that is going on. Like, you're not a beautiful, delicate, precious flower. Like, you're just a fucking product. Like,
but by the way, this is what this brought the shine back to filmmaking for me.
This movie, yeah, for
because for the first time ever, you were dealing with people who wanted to be there.
Yep,
who knew their lines. They were excited to be here. They were always on time.
Mm-hmm.
They were helping each other. There were so many veterans on sets,
but it's just an
helping
excitement.
Out crew members like mm-hmm. lazy crew members and shit like that. That it was that brought the excitement back to filmmaking for me. And I will say it had been gone for a couple years. Not that I don't love it, because I do. And I love doing it every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But seeing other people that were just as excited as I was about making a movie brought it all back.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is like, it was just cool to see people like genuinely excited. And it reminded me of like Munoz days, where you're just like, man, I didn't know any of this fucking shit. And I only wanted to be there and have a good time and like, the acting was the most important. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like hanging out. Like I was on set. I used to do extra work and I was so excited to do it. Just be on set. And there were extras there that were just like, I mean, they didn't have fucking legs.
Yeah.
They were excited. Like I used to be that way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it was exciting for me in the same way to have it come back and be like, this is fucking exciting. It's cool. It's like, are we really doing this?
And not only that, but the movie turned out great. Because usually a lot of these films, I can be honest with you here, they're hit and miss. You don't know what you're going to get. And often you don't know what you're going to get until post.
So that's what I'm used to.
So,
I'm just,
you know, and by the way, post is short for post-production. That means editing, special effects, sound, music, all that stuff. Because sound and music are essentially another character in the film. And, When I got to the end of this, I was like, holy shit. Not only did these guys did it, but everybody else around them did it. All the actors that were hired did it.
Yep.
Like, thank God. Or else we could have really fucked. I felt personally like I could have fucked up the military community. I think people are going to be proud of your performance in the movie.
Thank you.
I think you're going to be a fan fave. I think they're going to want to see you and Jared back for another one.
Oh, yeah.
You and T-Bone Taylor.
Me just like shutting him down again.
Back for another one.
Well, it wasn't all fun and games, though. I just want to say it was kind of stressful, but only because we were dealing with other people's money and we were dealing with other people that gave their like hard-earned like cash
to
allow us to do this. So it was like there was a stress over everybody that was just kind of like, we need to make this fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So it was really fun. It was awesome. But I want to like, it was a stressful. It was 13, you know, it was 13 days. It was a stressful thing. But
it was.
But yeah, I just wanted to say that. I don't want to be like, we were just laughing our asses off the whole time. Like,
No. It was.
But it was great.
It was an intense shoot, but it was a
great
blast.
Yeah.
It definitely was a blast. And with that, you know, we've talked about Bellflower. We've talked about 50K and Call Girl and Range 15. I think we're missing one. I think we're missing a little movie called...
a little drama biopic I did called Helen Keller versus Nightwolves.
Yes.
That was my second movie with the Street Justice company.
Oh, yeah. How was it playing Helen Keller?
It was amazing. I don't know if I even, like, drew on... Like, I don't even think I researched real Helen Keller. Like, she was just...
She
was her own person.
Was Helen Keller.
She was Helen Keller, obviously.
I think you should have treated it more seriously because everybody who sees this movie is going to say, I just saw this hardcore drama that probably the government didn't want me to see. And then when they see Helen Keller versus Nightwolves and know that you didn't take Helen Keller.
No. It's not that I didn't, like...
Seriously.
Here's what I'm comparing it to. Lin Shaye coming in with, like... The like deaf voice, and like she had done all
Lin Shaye, by the
kinds
way, for
of...
people at home. Lin Shaye was
because she's a real fucking actor,
she was the landlord,
by the way.
She was the landlord in Kingpin,
yes.
She was the real something about Mary.
Yes. It's not that I didn't do any research, I am teasing, I wasn't playing her like. You know, with the voice and the... I was playing her like a badass.
Because
I was playing the essence of Helen Keller. Let's say that. Because, like, this lady was a fucking badass. If you think about all the things that she had to overcome and, like, was still doing speaking engagements and, like...
Yeah, she was
She was a fucking boss for a long time.
I
think we're just kind of turning the Helen Keller jokes, like, on their head, right?
We are. And the beauty of it is we did Facebook actually let us do the first ever live stream of a movie. We streamed it last Friday night. 30,000 viewers, by the way.
Holy shit. That was fucking awesome, dude.
It was awesome.
Everybody that watched that was
You commented
fun.
In. The
yeah.
cast commented yeah. in. It was awesome. Whoever wants to check that out, it's on DVD on Amazon. It's also on my Facebook fan page
still
or
up.
On YouTube. Yeah, still up. And we're going to leave it up. They let us put the Range 15 trailer before it. What are some other movies you wish you could have starred in?
Oh, my God. Well, sorry, I'm eating Swedish fish.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Honestly,
I had to.
You're starting to go full Jared here.
He eats sandwiches during the podcast. When I said that, I sounded like him, like, guys,
leave
me alone.
Yeah. Now you've gone full Jared
and
you're eating on the podcast
Please
and drinking.
Please don't. Well, this is, I don't know if it's gay, but like American Beauty.
Like the Mina Suvari role? Is that who you want to be in American Beauty?
The
or the
other girl.
The Thora Birch role?
I could have.
No one wants to play the Thora Birch
I
role.
I could have killed that role. That's why. Because she made it fucking boring. Anyways. Shameless.
Who do you want to be in Shameless?
Emmy Roth. Like the main girl. Like she... I almost can't watch that show sometimes because I have such a FOMO. Like I literally am just like, oh, I see her in scenes and like you think about the way that you would do it and like, oh, man, it's so
Friend
dramatic.
Friend of the show, Steve Howie's on that show.
He's cool. He's good.
Yeah, but Emmy Rossum's your jam.
Emmy Rossum,
she's great.
And Jeremy,
she's great in that show.
Jeremy Allen White is her brother in it, and he's fucking – those two, like, just must be fun so much. Like every day, just doing that gritty, depressing I love it. I love it, man. What I do like about her, though, too, is, like, she doesn't go for the cry. You know, like those girls that, like, are – something sad happens like in movies and they just go
or
right,
in real life
in
yeah,
real life
yeah,
but they
yeah.
go right for that cry and it's like in real life like you're trying not to cry
right
it, you know if I'm talking to you about something like I'm trying not to cry if
right.
something's affecting me so she does that really well as opposed to people that just like can cry on cue
yeah
it's like but so like how about whole, like how about doing real.
Yeah, she's good. Has she ever won? She ever won anything? Golden Globe or I don't ever remember seeing her win.
Fuck, I know. I feel like
she's
really good.
I'm sure she has, right?
I'm sure she has, and I'm like, I think she's won a Golden Globe, and I'm so dumb for not knowing that, but she should win everything.
You're a busy working actress. You should know that.
I shouldn't know that shit. What do I fucking care about those awards?
Shit like that. Yeah.
Very Joaquin Phoenix about that.
Yeah.
Have you seen? I think maybe we've talked about this, but God Bless America. It was a movie.
Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah.
So I loved that little girl. She's not a little girl, but like at
the little girl in that movie was great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And at the time, I think I was like a little bit closer to her age. She wasn't like a little girl,
right?
But she was like maybe. What was she?
16?
16,
yeah,
16, 17,
yeah.
Something like that. But like, I fucking loved that role. Like that kind
of
shit.
That's a great movie. Yeah. That's a great movie.
The Wrestler. If I could have worked with Mickey Rourke and like been
that's a dope movie, but she was too old. Like you're not old enough to play that role yet.
Marissa Tomei?
No.
What about the daughter? That daughter role was the shit, too.
Yeah,
she cried. She was throwing stuff. I love it.
I know, but I don't remember the daughter's name in that movie.
You know that Rachel, what's her, Evan Rachel Wood or whatever?
I do, but it was kind of a snooze role to me.
Yeah, she could be snoozy for sure.
It was a snooze role, and I love the film, but I remember the two
Marissa
of them.
Marissa Tomei,
that was a two-hander for me. I don't remember. I don't remember the daughter as much or the other folks in that movie.
All right. True. Fair enough.
But since we have to deal with Jared's shitty movie picks every show, this last one was It Follows, which
It Swallows.
Oh,
dude, that
God.
Fucking shit sucks.
Fucking terrible.
Dude,
terrible.
Okay, so
it reminded
me
of a 90s
fucking
movie
premise because they wouldn't can I say you
Go
guys
ahead.
Weren't saying
but no,
it's
we
just
weren't
because
like we didn't
want
to spoil it. Jared was like, I don't want to spoil it for the audience. Let's spoil it because it's
okay.
That was a waste of fucking time.
So the scary thing in the movie is something walking towards you.
Yep.
Walking.
Yeah.
Can't get in a car. Can't like walk can't run.
And it's a person.
It's a person. Just a person.
So the phrase it follows literally means it follows in the movie. It is something that is following you, unexplained, goes through the whole fucking movie unexplained, and then leaves you with an ending of like, well, that's it, folks.
We don't know. It's still following.
Yeah. So what are your faves? What are your jams? What do you get into?
All right. Well, you know, like I'm a documentary gal, not so much a make-em-ups sort of chick. So like,
right.
I think actually the guys from the movie should watch a little documentary called Overnight.
Overnight?
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
What is it? It's about that guy that wrote Boondock Saints,
Troy
Duffy.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's about
yeah.
his like his rise and fall with just one
oh,
movie.
Oh, for Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
Yes. Dude,
yes,
everybody's
dude.
Talked about this.
Oh, man, it's so good. It's kind of hard to find.
I caught like, it's really hard to find. Yeah. I caught like 10 minutes of it and I was like, oh, fuck. I gotta DVR this.
Yeah.
And I went back in the search option. Gone.
Yeah.
Not on Netflix. Gone.
Yeah.
It is fucking nowhere. It is almost like him or his representatives tried to wipe that movie off the face of the planet.
It's very true. Because like, I mean, but it's because
the
awesome.
Making of Boondock Saints. God
yes.
damn it. You know, that is a perfect one for this episode. If you want to see what making your first
yes.
independent film is really like, because everybody
yeah,
out there, I'm sure, is a big Boondock Saints fan. Watch, if you can find this movie, watch the part, because the 10 or 15 minutes that I saw was like, oh, fuck. This is really how it is.
It's
like
actually
that,
perfect,
yeah.
dude. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's the rise and
the
fall of
so
how famous
awful.
One person
yep.
thinks he's going to be off one movie
mm-hmm.
and then starts treating everybody like a fucking nightmare.
Yep, and just burning bridges everywhere and like thinking that he's the fucking shit. I'm not saying that you guys are like this, but I'm just like.
No.
It's
but-
just like it's crazy to see in front of you. And he had so much. That movie already, with all of his shit. From trying to fuck it up, it still did so well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of amazing. And then I'm super into murder. So like The Jinx, I think is the most amazing.
We love we're big fan of the Jinx on the show.
You guys liked it?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
like amazing. The Staircase was The Jinx before The Jinx. So this is like the old school docuseries on Amazon. It's called The Staircase.
Okay.
So same kind of deal. You know, just kind of someone.
And then People
Innocent.
Versus O.J., what was your People versus O.J. Simpson? Did you like that?
Oh, I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Huge fan.
But again, courtroom, any murder. Like, I love when they take you back and forth where you're like, did he? Like, did I? I wonder if in that, when I was watching that, if I was like, did he do it? Like, yeah. I might have at some point been like, maybe OJ did it.
You know, there's a docuseries of OJ Made in America. It's called, I think it's OJ Made in America.
Yeah, it's a 30 for 30 thing.
It is, but yeah, it's a series. It's five. Okay. I think part two is tonight. And that examines how it really was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not portrayed by actors. It's
just weird it's, footage.
It's, I think it's a 10-hour documentary.
I love it.
I know. I know. So that's going to be, I think that's going to be my new shit.
Yeah.
My new shit. I don't know what Jared's new It Follows will be.
Oh, it'll be something fucking horrible.
Oh, God. It'll be like, Paranormal Activity 6.
Is he serious or is he kind of like tricking you guys into watching
no,
shit?
No, he's
like
a 90s kid.
Really...
And that's what.
Me too, though.
Yeah, but that's what It Follows was to me. Like, the music was really good in that. And like.
For sure. I liked, you know what?
There was elements of it.
There was elements. I liked the way it was shot. I liked the girl. I liked the music. I liked the ambiguous time period where it was kind of like, whoa. Like
Donnie Darko. Yeah. Where it was like, I love Donnie Darko.
Oh my God.
Even though there wasn't really an ending in that either. But I enjoyed Donnie Darko. This I did not enjoy, where I was just like, come on.
No, I was just kind of waiting for.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Have you seen Barfly? I guess
no.
I love Mickey Rourke, but he's like Charles.
Oh, God. Why don't you bring up Chicken Heart or, you know, how many?
No, Barfly is amazing. Like, anyone do their self. It was Charles Bukowski's first screenplay. I have it on VHS.
Super LA.
This is how much.
I'm only into Bukowski.
No, I hate Bukowski. Like, I hate his writing and stuff. No, but he's good at writing movies. Because if you, like.
Did he write Barfly?
Yes, it was his only.
And he wrote the screenplay.
Yeah, it was his only screenplay. So. That like fucking and fighting thing that he does, like it's good on screen, right?
Right.
In a book, it's just like whatever.
In a book, I just never bought it because you look at Bukowski as a person and you're like, cool.
You're like, gross. You did not.
Yeah, there's no way you fucked that many girls. There's no way you partied that hard.
For sure.
There's no way you drank everybody under the table and beat up everybody. Yeah. Like, you know, he was a wretched looking man.
For sure. But so was Mickey Rourke in this movie, actually. So it kind of worked. I don't know if it was like sort of autobiographical
or
whatever.
I'm going to fucking hold you to the Jared standard here, because if I hate this, you're going to get trash on the next show. You know
it. Oh, shit. And then anything Sam Rockwell does.
So I love Sam Rockwell. He's great. Sam Rockwell is one of my faves.
He's one of my faves.
Yeah. That's a
Confessions,
good one.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Confessions is one of my favorite movies of the last 10
movie
years.
That people don't really know about. So that's like an underground, like find it. It's on Netflix. So.
Yeah, incredible film.
Mm-hmm.
That's an incredible
movie. It's Clooney's directorial debut.
Oh, look at that. Yes. Somebody gave that guy a break.
I know. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Gosh, I love that guy's getting some kind of break.
Yeah, I hope he does okay in this world.
I know.
We're all super worried about him. Well, this is the point in the show where we get to the drinking bro of the week.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. This week comes from, this was submitted by Bruce McLaughlin, big fan of Bruce. He was actually friends with a girl who's active duty Army. She was having a rough time, and Bruce Messenger, her name is Samantha Bloom. She came out to the screening of Range 15 in D.C., went to the party afterwards. Everybody was hanging out with her all night, one of the nicest girls there is. Yeah. It turns out that her rough time that she was talking about that night was that she had just flown back from Virginia from Fort Collins on an emergency leave because of her father, who was a veteran and had been fighting cancer and passed away. He passed away the night before the D.C. screening.
Oh, my God.
And Sam said that coming out to the show on Friday and being embraced by the entire Drinking Bros community was exactly what she needed. People bought her drinks and partied with her all night. And again, this kind of goes back to the cornerstone at the top of the show where you were talking about the Drinking Bros community and what it means. So to Bruce, thanks for reaching out. And to Samantha Bloom, we're terribly sorry to hear about your father.
But thanks for hanging out, and I hope that we, you know, helped you even a little bit.
Yeah. And to you guys, we just want to say cheers. So cheers.
I got to cheers on the Drinking Bros podcast.
I know. Look at you.
I know.
You're all grown up. You're all grown up.
He's grown up. Swingers.
Great one.
Great film. Those guys. Isn't that great what happened with them?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just a fairy tale. We got a singers. We got a swingers shout out in the movie.
We do.
So for Ross Patterson and Jesse Wiseman, this was a pleasure having our first female co-host on the Drinking Bros. We had a little broette on the show tonight.
You guys, it was so fun. I hope I didn't let you down.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out on the message board.
Oh, wait, this is
people
for Matt.
People will fucking rage. Yeah, who the fuck is Matt at? Who's Rocco and Jerry? Yeah. Fuck that. Fuck that girl. No, I'm kidding. You were awesome.
Thank you. Matt, this is for you. I know you love my Martha voice so much. It was so great doing a movie with you. All right, guys. This was awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for being on Drinking Bros. Kids, go out and see Range 15. If you're just getting back to it, thanks for coming. And we love you. Good night, everyone. Why don't you end with a sweet sound effect? That's a guy. That's a guy throwing up.
I still think I gotta go.